There is a height that we must ascend to and make our dwelling there. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers. Meaning that living our life from the realm of God, our realities must be different from the realities of people who have not come in contact with the Zoe life that is found in Christ. Living a life above the systems of the world, living a life of holiness, living a life that is deeply rooted in righteousness is only a possibility when you have detached yourself from every way that pull men down and hold them in perpetual bondage. If you are not living a life from above, then holiness and purity cannot be modeled through your life. And if the nature of Christ is not finding expression through you, then it means that you are still a slave to the law of sin and death. We are in the last days, and the kind of men and women that God is seeking to invest his power into are men that have refused to eat of the portion of the king's meat. They are men that stand for righteousness and refuse to compromise, even if it means being thrown in the lion's den. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, the Bible says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This scripture encapsulates the essence of our identity as Christians. You being chosen to live out Christ, to model Christ to a perverse world, to manifest the multifaceted dimensions of Christ, was not by coincidence. It was not by chance, but it was by divine intentionality. God has placed inside of you the ability to represent his interests on the face of the earth. So because God was intentional when he was choosing you, you must be intentional in the way that you live your life. Your life must be lived with the understanding that what makes you peculiar is your connection to the God that created all things, making the life that you display here on earth as a result of the higher life that you draw from the realm of God. So you need to have the understanding that you are here to model Christ. You are here to live out Christ. Christ must be seen through you. When people see you, they must see Christ. You are representing Christ here on earth. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. So as followers of Christ, we are part of a spiritual and a holy priesthood that is at the service of God. And we have a role to be mediators between God and humanity. We have a calling to offer spiritual sacrifices and intercede on behalf of others. So if you read the Old Testament, you will realize that only the Levitical priesthood had direct access to God in the temple. However, through Christ Jesus in the New Testament, we now as believers, we all have direct access to God. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 that let us approach God's throne with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. So your confidence is in what Christ did for you. So with that confidence, you now have a voice in the spirit through priesthood. You now have the privilege to come before God in prayers, in worship, in service without the need for an intermediary. So the other thing that our royal priesthood entails is the responsibility bestowed upon us to rule our world. We are royalty. We have a connection to kingship. So we are partakers of the glory of Christ. According to the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 17, we have a duty to represent the kingdom of God on earth by proclaiming his truth and advancing his purposes. So when we see the rise of corruption, when we see the rise of lawlessness in our communities, when we see an influx in perversion, it is because the people that are supposed to rule over their generation have not risen They have not risen above the limitations of their generation, because you can only rule over a generation if you have risen above the forces that hold men captive. So we become victims of the sins of the people we are supposed to deliver. So we cannot share in the glory of Christ if we have not made up our minds to also share in his sufferings. If we have not decided to deny ourselves, if we have not decided to refuse to go the way of the flesh, but consistently go the way of the spirit, because there is a consistent fight between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants to take you in the direction that is contrary to the desires of Christ, but the spirit wants to take you on the path that leads to eternal life. God is raising an army of people, an army of people that refuse to walk down the corridors of compromise, the people that live their lives to see Christ manifest, the people whose lives have become a platform where the Holy Spirit has the liberty to find expression, the people whose feet are not quick to run into immorality, the people whose hands do not touch the unclean things but are consecrated for signs and wonders, the people sick, the people separated and consecrated unto God, the people whose vocal cord is not for gossip but to declare the counsel of the Lord to the nations. You see, you cannot dominate your world except by priesthood. The degree of the power that you sustain, the degree of the power and influence that you command in the physical is just the result of where you stand in the spirit. So the uncorruptibles that are rising are men and women that are skilled in priesthood, because they have understood that you cannot conquer a territory except you first conquer the territory on your knees. You cannot manifest dominion in the physical except you have had dominion in the spiritual realm, because the things that you manifest in the physical are just the result of the things that you have laid hold of in the realm of the spirit. By priesthood, you can change the demonic atmosphere over a city. You can create a place where angels are ascending and descending. You can remove and plant a new government from your altar. So, with that understanding, you see the necessity of holy living, because you cannot rule over a darkness if you yourself are a slave of that darkness. The Bible says, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, the servants of him you are, whom you have obeyed. So you cannot rule over your master. So if the devil is still holding you captive, if you are still captive, you cannot rule over darkness by being captive. You cannot rule over forces of darkness if you are still captive of those same forces. What gives you the capacity to call on God and he will answer? What gives you the capacity to move the hand of God in your favor is your ability to first be under the authority of God. Because in the kingdom of God, the authority of God is committed to men that are under the authority of God. If you are not under the authority of God, you cannot handle the power of God. So living a life of holiness is very important. You don't live holy because of your own strength, but you live holy because of the strength of God at work in you. You live holy because he has made you holy. You live holy because that's your nature. That's the nature of the God that you are trying to do business with. And you can't do business with a holy God if you are not holy. So God shows us first His holiness. We see God as a holy God. And the reason is that God is showing us who He is so we can model who He is. The Bible says, as we behold Him like in a glass, we are changed from glory to glory into the same image. So when you behold God long enough as a holy God, you will realize that the more you behold Him, the more you are being changed, the more you are being transformed, the more the things that are in you that are not consistent with His nature are being removed. And so the power of priesthood is in the one making the prayers, not just in the one that the prayers are being made to. Priesthood is not powerful if the garment of the priest is stained. So Paul said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Meaning that your life becomes an effulgence of the multifaceted dimensions of Christ. Only then can you be trusted to handle the authority of Christ. God is looking for Puritans. What is the quality of the life that you live on a daily basis? Are you living for Christ, or are you living to satisfy your own desires? Desires that do not have any root in the realm of God. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. You needed to meditate over this word until you understand the depth of this word. For me to live is Christ. Can you say that? Can you say that? Can you say that boldly? For me to live is Christ. Meaning that I'm not living for myself. I'm not living to accomplish my own desires, but I am living to accomplish the desires of the one who brought me from darkness into His marvelous light. I'm not living for myself, but I'm living for Christ. So for me to live is Christ. The Bible says it's no longer I that live, but Christ is now the one living through me. So when you become one with that reality, then it is easier for you to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is trying to guide you from a path of corruption so you can stay consistent on the path of life. When you become one with that reality, you become more pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit. You let Him mold you. You let Him lead you and guide you like a potter. You let Him give you the shape that He desires because you have understood that His will is your will. Not your will is His will, but His will is your will. And that is the problem that you have. You want your will to be God's will, as if He was living for you and not the other way around. You are living for God. God is not living for you. You are living for God. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1 to 2 that, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, offering your body as a living sacrifice means that you have dedicated your life entirely to God. Don't just give part of you to God. God is interested in all of you because He wants to fill you up until you overflow. So if all of you is too small to contain all of God, what makes you think that some of you can contain all of Him? You cannot experience the unfathomable depth of God's love for you if you don't give Him all of you. there will always be a part of you that is broken and insecure because you have refused to give access to God. So you are holding on to a part of you because maybe you are too ashamed to give that part to God. You are holding on to a part of you because maybe you are too afraid to give that part of you to God. God wants all of you. God is interested in all of you. In what you think it is, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God is interested in every aspect of your life. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were offered on altars, but today we are the sacrifice. We offer our lives as a sacrifice, meaning that we let Jesus be glorified through our actions, through our thoughts, through our whole being. We are the sacrifice. We present ourselves to God as a sacrifice. Jesus, I am the sacrifice. Take me. We are the sacrifice. We are the sacrifice. Say that. I am the sacrifice. Jesus, I present myself to you as a sacrifice. I am the sacrifice. Jesus, take me. So since we are the sacrifice, we must make sure that our whole desires must be to see Christ glorified. What a beautiful thing it is for your life to become a platform for His manifestation. What a beautiful thing it is. What a beautiful thing it is for people to see Christ through you. What a beautiful thing it is to be at a service as a believer, to be at a service of a holy God. What a beautiful thing it is. What a beautiful thing it is. The Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. This means that you must adopt behaviors, attitudes, postures, and values that are kingdom values. Today we see in our society that many people have adopted values that are not kingdom values. We have let Babylon disciple us. We became disciples of Babylon. We have adopted the value systems of Babylon and we are trying to make them Christian value systems. Your value system as a believer must not be in conflict with the standards of God. What is found in the world is the loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. So your life must not be powered by the wisdom of Babylon. You must pattern your life according to the wisdom that is celestial. The wisdom of God must be the one powering your life. When we see your life and we read the life of Jesus Christ, we must see the conformity. We must see that your life is in conformity to the life of Christ. If truly you have the Zoe life of God in you, that life must manifest. If truly you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then that righteousness must manifest in the way you live your life, in the way you think, in the way you talk to people, in the way you treat people. That righteousness must manifest because it is your nature as a believer. So if we look closely at your life, we must be able to see Jesus through your lifestyle. If we ask the five people that are closest to you, think about this. If we ask the five people that are closest to you, I'm not saying people who only know you from afar. I'm talking about people that are close to you, that know you very well. What is their testimony of you? Will those five people that know you very well, will they say that you are a model as far as what a life of someone who proclaims to have Jesus Christ as the personal Lord and Savior. Those five people, what will be their testimony about your life? The people that know you in the secret and the people that know you in the open, what would be their testimony about you? Are you a hypocrite? Do you present yourself in public? You present yourself as a holy person, but in the secret, everything you do is contrary to what you are supposed to be doing. Refuse to pattern your life according to the systems of this world. Refuse to conform yourself to the pattern of this world. Refuse to be ordinary. The Christian life is not an ordinary life. It is not an ordinary life. Refuse to be ordinary. Refuse to do what everybody else is doing. Refuse to be careless. Refuse lasciviousness. Refuse. Refuse sin. Refuse iniquity. Refuse the value systems that are not godly. Refuse. Get rid of any forms of corruption and always be open for the Holy Spirit to transform you by renewing your mind, because the quality of the life you live is as a result of the quality of your mind. If your mind have not been renewed by the Holy Spirit, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be impossible for you to live the God kind of life if your life has not been renewed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must renew your mind on a daily basis, consistently. Your life, your mind must be renewed. You must be open for the Holy Spirit to clean you, to cleanse you, to purify you consistently, to purify your mind of things, to purify your mind from strongholds. You must be open for the Holy Spirit to purify your mind. Purify your mind. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because if your mind is renewed, then the transformation is easy. If your mind is renewed, then transformation is a possibility. It is impossible to have transformation if your mind has not been renewed. And the only person that can really renew your mind for you to be able to live a life that is pleasing to God is the Holy Spirit. It's not the degrees that you have gotten from school. It's not the things that you study. We are talking about a kind of purification, a kind of renewing, a kind of transformation that can only come by the Holy Spirit. That you look at your life from even a month ago and then you see the progress. You see that this can only be by the power of the Holy Spirit. This can only be by God. You see that the things that used to hold you captive are no longer holding you captive. You see that the things that you used to be slave to, you are no longer slave to those things. You are no longer slave to those ways of thinking. You are no longer slave to those ways of doing things, because the Holy Spirit has transformed you by renewing your mind. So if you do not first change your perspective, make sure your way of life aligns with the truth of the Word of God, then you cannot live out the life of God. You must see things from the perspective of God. And so you must always be focused on your spiritual growth and renewal. The testimony of the Christian is not of a changed life, but it is of an exchanged life. Meaning you give your old life to live out the life of God. It is the testimony of an exchanged life, not a changed life, but an exchanged life. There are many things in you that need to be exchanged. There are many things in you that you need to get rid of. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. You are your biggest enemy. Get rid of those things that you are holding on to. Those things that you know, they don't glorify the name of God, yet you are still holding on to them. Because everybody else around you is holding on to them. Your story must be different. Even if a billion people is doing something that is wrong, it is wrong. As long as it is not what the Bible says, then it means it's wrong. Even if it is a billion people around you that are doing it, don't do what everybody else is doing. The only way you do what everybody else is doing is if what everybody else is doing is in conformity with the truth of the Word of God. So you must give up your desires for God's desires. You must give up your choices for God's choices. You must give up your thoughts for God's thoughts. Because your thoughts, your desires, your actions, if not inspired by the indwelling spirit, are going to be channels through which Satan will plunder your life. They are going to be channels through which Satan will have access to your life and he will destroy you. So you must submit your desires. You must submit your thoughts. You must submit your actions to the Holy Spirit to test and approve what is God's will. What is God's will? What is God's will for me? What is God's will for my life? What is God's will? The situation that I'm facing currently, this decision that I'm trying to make, what is God's will? What is God's will? And how do you know the will of God? You can know the will of God by reading scripture. Or you can know the will of God by hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I can assure you this, the Holy Spirit will not tell you something that is contrary to the word of God. The Holy Spirit will not lead you in a direction that is in contradiction to the written word of God. By living a life that is dedicated to God and renewing your mind, you become more discerning, you become more closer, you become more intimate with the Holy Spirit. Through obedience to the word of God, through obedience to the instructions that the Holy Spirit will give you, you would realize that the more you obey the word of God, the more you obey the instructions that the Holy Spirit gives you, the more you will easily hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not do anything that you know that God is not being glorified to, because there is no vacuum in the spirit. So if God is not being glorified, then it means that the devil is being glorified. If God is not being glorified through what you are doing, if God is not being glorified through the actions that you are taking, if God is not being glorified through the decisions that you are making, if God is not being glorified through your thoughts, then it means that the devil is profiting. It means that the devil is being glorified. So my prayer for you today is that may your life bring glory to the name of Jesus. May you receive power and strength on a daily basis as you engage the Holy Spirit to live a life that is pleasing to God. At the office, in the market, in church, everywhere you go, whatever you do, you will not bring reproach to the name of Jesus. People will see Jesus through you. People will come to Jesus through you. Your life will be a testimony that will bring men and women from all over the world closer to Jesus. Your life will be a testimony that will bring people around you closer to Jesus. Your life will be a testimony that will make people fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus. May God strengthen you by His Spirit in the inner man as you journey with Him daily. You are blessed. Shalom.